I want to continue talking about the devil's 3D plan. And about 3 weeks ago, the Lord began to deal with me about this some more, and I didn't know how. I didn't know how pertinent it would be for today. And I want to give you some strategies today to help you overcome some of those distractions in your life. But before I give you those strategies, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no depthness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. Jesus must have been preaching about a sower in Louisiana. When the sun was up, it was hot, and they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Let me read verse 7 again. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus taught this parable about the sower. And in verse 7, he said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now, I want to talk about this verse for a second. I want us to look at verse 7. Because he goes on to explain what verse 7 means. So if you look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, he explains what he meant in verse 7. He goes on to say, he also that received seed among the thorns, remember verse 7, they were sown among thorns. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. Anybody in here hearing the word? You hear the word. But then he says, and the cares of this world, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of this word, of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Do you know? God says his word will not return void. Amen. The Bible says his word is like a two-edged sword. It's like a hammer. I mean, the word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive and powerful. But this verse said you can hear the word, and the cares of this world can literally choke the word out of you. I didn't say that. That's what the Lord said right here.
That's right.
So we have to be careful about the cares. In the Greek, this word is merimna. And in the Greek, this word can also mean worries, cares, distractions. Remember the devil's 3D plans? Distractions. And once he gets you distracted, he wants to deceive you. And once he has you deceived, then ultimately you will find yourself deviated away from his plans and purposes for your life. So this verse says, the cares of this world can distract you and cause deception to come into your life. Now, I'm not saying that once you're distracted, you're going to go around and blaspheming God. That's not the deception I'm talking about. The deception I'm going to talk about today is the deception of fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety. That's a lie. Fear and anxiety is deceptiveness. And so when the Lord said this, he said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word and the cares of this world. So I was studying last night. I was putting some final touches on this, and Brooks came into the study and she said, David, I just heard something. I just heard we just dropped some bombs on Iran. She said the president's supposed to speak at 9 Eastern time. You don't think that was a care? I'm thinking, oh my God, that's huge. That's huge. And I'm not going to get into all of the things that can blossom from those actions. But I was just thinking about how big that is. And if you don't watch it, those cares, those concerns, those worries can literally turn into fear and anxiety. Do you know, so Young's literal translation, this is how it reads, Matthew 13:22. And the sown, and that sown toward the thorns, this is he who is hearing the word, and the anxiety of this age and the deceitfulness of riches do choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, every year the American Psychiatric Association, they do a health poll. And it shows that there is an epidemic of fear and anxiety in our nation. An epidemic of fear and anxiety. And, you know, I wasn't trying to call people and find out if they had fear and anxiety if they're in their lives. But I was on the phone with people this week who were sharing with me how they had this anxiety about life. And another person called me and they're worried about this. And I'm talking to another person and they're concerned about that. And just fear and anxiety is just engulfing our nation. So this poll showed them that 43% of adults were feeling more anxious than they were that time in 2023. In 2023, 37% of the people said they were feeling more fear and anxiety than they were the year before. It's like every year is just growing. Every year, more and more and more people are experiencing fear and anxiety to the point where people literally have panic attacks. Fear of current events, fear of wars, financial fears, social media drama, drama in your family, drama at work, and in some places, drama at church. I told you I was going to preach a fluffy message today. Remember that? All of these and so much more are contributing factors to fear and anxiety. But I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to continue to walk in the deception of fear and anxiety anymore. And I'm also here to tell you today that as they were singing that song, I could just feel this anointing just fall on me today. I cannot wait to cast out fear and anxiety from this church. I can't wait. Whew. The cares of this world, this is what it will do. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. I want to show you what the cares of this world will do. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. And I want to show you this because even in church, we have to be careful that we don't allow the cares of this world to hinder what God wants to do. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. This is when Jesus feeds the 5,000. It says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and then the people had heard thereof. They followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw all of the people, all of the lost, all of the hurting, all of the wounded, all of the sick people. And it says, and when it was evening, he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. So, you know, he feeds 5,000 people, but the Bible says there was 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. So it could have easily been 15,000 people here. Imagine how many sick people you'll get when you have 15,000 people congregated together. So here is Jesus praying for hundreds, potentially thousands of sick people. Do you know ministry takes time? Do you know sometimes ministry takes time? Do you know when you read about past revivals in history, revivals don't start at 7 and end at 8:30 a.m.? Hey, God's here. It's 7:30. God, you got 1 hour. Ministry takes time. And so Jesus starts to pray for all these sick people. And when it was evening, his disciples came unto him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, because I'm sure they're getting hungry. Not that I'm hungry. It's not that I'm tired, Jesus. Send the multitude away. And so his disciples were encouraging him. In other words, Jesus, won't you just hurry this thing up a little bit? Won't you hurry this thing up a little bit? Send the rest of them home. We don't care if everybody's not healed yet. Look, let's cut this service a little short, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, I love the way Jesus handled it. He said, I got a better idea. Why don't you feed them? Verse 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give you them to eat. But the disciples were smart. Perfect answer. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. You expect us to feed 15,000 plus people with 2 fish and 5 loaves? Jesus. What you got to say about this one? And this is what he said. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. Bring me what you got. Do you know when Jesus tells you to do something, he does not tell you, I need to step down here and say this. When Jesus tells you to do something, he's not telling you because you are equipped to do it. He's telling you to do something because he's saying, if you step out in faith, I will equip you to do what I've called you to do. I will equip you to say it, to sing it, to prophesy it, to do whatever. He says, bring it to me. Bring me what you have. What do you have this morning? And why are you allowing fear and anxiety to stop you from moving out in faith and doing what God's calling you to do? Bring them hither to me, is what he said. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. 12 disciples went out with full baskets from the Lord. 12 disciples came back with full baskets. I believe Sister Sarah has that anointing. I've seen Sister Sarah feed 100-plus people with enough food that was prepared for 50. And so they all did eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Here's how I see it in my mind. Jesus is healing all these people. Let me tell you something. When you see somebody healed, when you see somebody, a true miracle, it just blows you away. It just blows you away. I mean, my wife and I were in this service. I've told you about this before. We literally saw a woman's leg was shorter than the other. It shot out and grew equal with the other leg. The next week, she testified that she had to go buy all new shoes because she had these special shoes that she had to wear since the time she was a little girl, and God healed her. And we talked about this for the longest. Like, did you see that? That was crazy. But guess what? The disciples, they were seeing the same thing and even more. They were seeing withered hands come to life. They were seeing legs grow, arms grow. They were seeing growths fall off when Jesus would pray for people. They saw diseases disappear, and they got tired of seeing God move. And so it's almost like Jesus said, let me show you something. You think you know me, don't you? Just because you see me heal people, let me kick this up a notch. Let me feed 15,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves, disciples. Let me show you who I really am. But he didn't stop there. And so once that was over, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Can you imagine the conversations on the boat as they left the shore? Can you imagine the disciples saying, you know, guys, I got to admit to you, I got tired of seeing all the healings. It's just become normal. But can you believe that he fed 15,000 people with two fish and five loaves? Can you imagine the conversation on the boat? And one of the disciples saying, yeah, I had my basket. And I'm telling you, I just got tired just to see how this basket was staying full. So I just dumped the whole basket out. And when I turned it back over, it was still full. And it was fish and loaves all over the ground. I just can't figure it out. Can you imagine the conversation on that boat? Talking about the glorious things that they had seen. Talking about the wonder of the majesty of the power of God flowing through his son, Jesus. Imagine the conversation on that boat as they entered into the wind and the waves. And so let's read on. And so he sent the multitude away, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. It's like the Lord was like, let me just show you who I am. You think healing the sick is something. You think feeding 15,000 plus people with two fish and five loaves is something? What about if I just command nature? What if I just go against all the laws of nature and walk on water? We serve a big God. I don't know if we sometimes forget to just think about how big our God is. We serve a big God. And he is able to do whatever you need. Whatever your need is today, I would dare say, and Pastor can back me up if I'm right about this, I don't think there's anything you can take to God that he can't do. Well, God, I know you're God, but this electric bill is like $600. I don't think there's anything that we can take to God that he's not big enough to handle. I need you to think about that for a second. I got to stop here a second. What is your problem? What is your need today? What is that thing that keeps you up at night? Whatever it is not bigger than God. What's that thing that's got you wondering? I just don't know if this is, I don't understand how, I don't understand when. What is that thing? Whatever it is that big to God? I believe today some of you are going to leave here and that anxiety about the future, that fear about tomorrow, you're going to leave it here at this church. You're not going to take it home after today. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to take it home after today. All right, let me find where I am. So, in the fourth watch of the night, and this is early in the morning, between 3, 6 a.m. in the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. The one thing Jesus had to deal with in his disciples in their time of crisis was fear. That's right. Yep. And how did he tell them to combat it? Be of good cheer. Yep. Be of good cheer. And so this is what happens. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come unto thee on the water. I've heard it said, I don't know if Pastor might have said this, you know, people parachute all the time. They jump out of airplanes. And he said, I don't know why a person would jump out of a perfectly good airplane. Why? Well, why would Peter step out of a perfectly good boat in the middle of a raging sea and wind? But he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you. And he said, Jesus said to Peter, come on. Come on. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water. Peter, I'm not talking about Jesus. Peter walked on the water. You know, some people say he stepped out on faith on the word of God. Jesus said, come. Peter stepped out on faith on that word. He walked on the water. Some people say that he walked on the word, come. You know what I believe he walked on? Amazing grace through faith. Faith and grace. He had the faith to go to Jesus when Jesus said, come, and God's grace was right there to hold him. And so it says, he bid, Jesus told him to come. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, the Bible's not clear on how far he got. I don't know if he got a few feet. I don't know if he walked 20 yards. 50 yards, I don't know how far he got, but I do know this. He defied the laws of gravity because he stood on the word of God. He stood on the word of God. But Matthew chapter 14, 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Now, if you're in the water, you know, we had a pool before, and you jump off the diving board, you don't just float down like this. You sink like a rock. We had some kids over our house one day, a church function, and one of the kids pushed one of the girls off into the pool, and she just sank like a rock. And I found myself reaching down as fast as I could to grab this girl out of the pool. But it says, Peter, as he began to sink, so as he began to see the wind and the waves, it began to affect his faith, and he didn't fall like a rock. He just began to sink. And as he began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And here's where we get into the deceptiveness of fear. Because as he saw the winds and the waves, as he was distracted by the winds and the waves, that's when the enemy said, all right, Peter, you're going to die. And then the deception kicked in. And instead of him standing on the word, the deception of fear said, Peter, this is your last day. Look at those winds and waves. Do you know you get what you focus on? If all you want to talk about and focus on is the negative, and you putting your heart into the negative, if all you're speaking over your kids is, you big dummy, why did you drop that? I've had one friend I grew up with, and his father was incarcerated. Now, we are like 12, 13 years old. Everywhere we went, people would say, you just like your daddy. You're going to end up in prison just like your daddy. But at 19 years old, we got saved and broke all of those word curses off of each other. And now he's a very successful businessman who never spent one second in jail. But you have to watch what you focus on. You have to watch what you give attention to. Where are you spending your time? What are you spending your time on? Where do you spend your time reading? Where do you spend your time watching? And you wonder why you're in fear and have anxiety? Think of some of the songs you listen to. I have a tear in my beer. And you're wondering why you're depressed. I will end up with a fluffy sermon somewhere before it's over. Just give me time. Give me time. But he saw the wind boisterous and was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Matthew 13:22 said that he received seed among the thorns is he that receives the word. Peter got the word. Come. Come on, Peter. But the cares of the wind, the cares of the waves, what Peter began to focus on began to shake his faith. Faithful word, we need to have faith in these last days. We need faith more in these last days than we've ever needed it before. Because you don't know what today is going to hold. One day you hear Russia is attacking Ukraine. The next day you hear something happens in Israel, and now there's war in Israel with Hamas, and then now you hear there's Iran, and now you hear the United States has sent three bombers, or sent some bombers, and we've bombed three nuclear sites in Iran. It's just escalating. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And I don't say that to bring fear. I say that to tell you, strengthen your faith. Build your faith. Look to Jesus. Look to him, because he is the one who sustains us, who keeps us, who builds us up. That clock can be right. We have to keep our heart and mind focused on the right direction. Don't allow the winds and waves and cares of life to become bigger than your Lord, because they're not. Your faith will grow in the direction of your focus. What you focus on will be the fertilizer for your faith. If you focus on the word, this will fertilize that seed. The word in your heart and your life, the word will grow, and you will find yourself stepping out on faith more and more and more. But if all you focus on is CNN, Fox News, CNBC, MSNBC, CBS, and you're going to wonder why you're walking in fear and anxiety? Here's something I need you to think about. Peter began to look at the wind and the waves, and he saw these waves crashing, and he heard the wind blowing. But you know everything he saw? None of that changed who Jesus was at one second of one moment of time. Jesus remained the same.
We can look at all the winds and waves we want to. We can look at all of the cares of this life we want to. But the cares of this life, your problems, your issues, whatever you're going through, that does not change who Jesus is. He's always faithful and true. Always faithful and true. Always Almighty God. Always King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Always. It will never stop. Your problems will not stop that. Your problems can't change that. Oh, y'all got me wanting to preach this thing now. Fear and doubt will make you doubt everything, even your own God-given talents and abilities. Let me just take a moment, take a step back here. I had a good talk with Brother Gordon this morning because I was wondering about this. I needed some help. So I talked to Brother Gordon about it. So Pastor Tardo and Brother Gordon gave me some stories about going fishing in rough seas. And they pretty much talked me out of going deep sea fishing ever. Thank you very much, Pastor Tardo. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you. But they told me that these waves can be so big that your boat just does this and it crashes against this wave. And no, I'm not dancing as I preach, but this is what the boat is doing. And they told me, oh, David, you might, you know, even if you go, you might have to take some Dramamine or something, you know, just to calm your stomach. And why would I leave a perfectly good earth to get on a boat? But you know, Peter didn't sink like a rock. Remember, he began to sink. Do you know Peter was an excellent swimmer? Excellent swimmer. And Brother Gordon told me this morning, he said, David, do you know, I guess, last week when they would swim, he said, we've swam half mile, a mile. We just go swim. Isn't that right, Brother Gordon? Yeah, as kids, just go jump in the water and just go swimming and stay out there. A half a mile or so. My mom didn't name me Tarzan. She named me David, so I'm not a great swimmer. That was a joke for you who know who Edgar Rice Burroughs is, an author, and Tarzan is one of the characters. Never mind. Never mind. I saw it like a wave go over the whole church's head, just a few people. Like, oh, yeah, Tarzan. Yeah, what's that got to do with anything? Okay, let's go back. Fear and anxiety will make you doubt everything, even your own God-given talents and abilities. Do you know John chapter 21 talks about when after the resurrection, John 21, let's just go there. Go there with me real fast. I think I can get through this sermon and go to John 21 also. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. And Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're going to go with you. And so they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Verse 4. But when the morning was come, Jesus, now this is after the resurrection, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Hallelujah. Look at verse 21, chapter 21, verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself out of a perfectly good boat into the sea. And the other disciples, now, when he jumped into the sea, guess what he did? He swam to the shore. He swam to the shore. How far did he swim? Look at verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. This is a cubit, about, from your fingers to your elbow. Just say a foot and a half. 200 cubits is 300 feet. 300 feet is the length of a football field. Peter swam the length of a football field, jumped out of a perfectly good boat, swam the length of a football field to get to Jesus. Let's go back to when he's walking on the water. And he begins to sink. And I asked Gordon this question this morning. Gordon, when you're out there in the middle of the Gulf and all these waves are going everywhere, could a person survive if they jumped out of a boat? He's like, of course they can. All you got to do is swim. You float on your back and you swim in water. Yeah, you got waves, but you go with the waves. Peter could have swam back to the boat. Are y'all following me? He could have swam back to the boat, but he didn't. So I'm not saying that he wouldn't have drowned. I'm not saying that his fear wasn't real, but his fear stopped him from even using the God-given gifts and talents that he had. How many times does fear stop you from using your God-given gifts and talents? Some of you have been sitting there and God has said, whispered in your ear, this is what I want you to say to my church. And you're like, not me. I'm not going, yes, thank you for being honest. One person honest in the whole congregation. I'm sorry, sister. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But how many times has fear stopped you from moving out and doing what God's called you to do? I remember back in the day, we'd be in church and the Lord would move on my heart and get like, Brother Paul he moved on my heart and he'd give me a word and I'd be looking around and sweat would pop up on my forehead and I'm like, I am not saying nothing. But then across the room, somebody would begin to speak and say the exact same thing that I heard in my heart to say. And I began to realize, you know what? If I don't use the gifts that God's given me, he's going to give it to somebody else. How many times in this place has God maybe moved on your heart and prompted you that, you know, I believe somebody might be sick and they might have this specific thing going on in their body. Do you know you might have the gift of healing? How many of you know we need the gift of healing moving in the body today? What gift are you sitting on? Because fear keeps you from moving out and doing what God's called you to do. The person has the beautiful voice and they won't sing for God. Pastor Tardo, you should have sang this morning. Fear will deceive you and talk you out of doing what God has called you to do, anointed you to do, appointed you to do, gifted you to do. Yes. And now I'm able to preach them without having to talk to them. Let's move on. Matthew 14:31. Jesus, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." He might have could have swam back to the boat, but he has sense enough to know, Jesus, I want to be where you are. I might can swim back to that boat and be back there with the rest of them, but Jesus, you know what? Right now, I need you. Lord, save me. And it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? What did Jesus do when Peter called out? What did Jesus do? He saved him. He grabbed him. He grabbed him by the hand. Peter was in fear. He was sinking in fear. What did Jesus do? He grabbed him by the hand. Peter had doubt and unbelief. Jesus said, wherefore didst thou doubt, O thee of little faith? What did Jesus do? He grabbed him by the hand and saved him. If you don't hear anything else I say today, I need you to hear this. Just because the enemy puts fear in your life does not mean that you are disqualified from his grace, from his mercy, from his hand. You might be going through some stuff. You might have fear attacking your mind. You might have some stuff coming against you in your heart. But that does not stop the Lord from reaching down and grabbing you and pulling you close to his heart. Don't you ever think, just because the enemy whispers in your ear and tells you you're not good enough now because you have some anxiety, you're not good enough now because you have some fear, don't you ever let the enemy talk you out of running to your Father God. Because he will grab you and pull you so close to him. Oh, thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord Jesus. You might be anxious about family, about children, finances, health. Don't let that stop you from crying out to Jesus. Cry out to him. Tell him, Lord, I need you to help me through this tough season of my life. And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased, and then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, now look at this, from going from all the healings, Lord, we're hungry, we're tired, send these people away. Going from that feeding 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. And it's like Jesus said, I need to show you one more thing because I need you to know who I really am. And when he defied nature itself, they came, the Bible says, and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Here's the strategies. Let me wrap this up. I'm going to give you a couple of quick strategies. Here is what I want you to do to help you in these times of fear and anxiety. You ready for this? You got your ink pens out? Number one, I need you to be intentional about spending time in God's word. like you never have before. And I'm not just talking about reading, oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. No, I'm talking about getting into the Word, digging deep into the Word, saying, God, what's in here for me? Show me your will for my life from your Word. Not just reading scripture just for the sake of reading it and going on and not changed, but saying, Lord, change me. Change me. What are your promises for me, Lord? Show me. Number two, be intentional about spending more time in prayer. Not just talking to God, but listening to the Father. Spending time where you go to God and you pray and you talk, but then you get quiet and allow Him to speak to you. Number three, be intentional about spending time at church and fellowshipping with other Christians. Be intentional about that. But not just sitting here, because you know what? I got to shake maybe 15 people's hands today, got a couple of hugs. And that's fantastic, because I love you and I'm glad you love me. But how do we spend quality time together? Be intentional about spending time in church and spending time with each other, building relationships with your brothers and sisters, praying together. Maybe just send a text of scripture to encourage your brother and sister. Be intentional about building relationships. The next one, I'm wrapping it up. Be intentional about meditating on and confessing the Word of God over yourself. Retrain your tongue and your mind. You know, there are some people that you can talk to and tell them, hey, guess what? You just won the sweepstakes. You just won $10 million. And they're going to say, yeah, but Uncle Sam's going to take 30% of it. What? Probably misquoted there, Pastor. Probably more like 50% of it. Did you just see that guy? He got healed. He just got out of that wheelchair. He's been in for 40 years. Yeah, but now he's got to go buy new shoes. Yeah, I tell you. I mean, we have to begin to redirect our thinking in these last days. We don't have time to be thinking crazy thoughts. We need to be as built up and strong in God's Word in both mind and mouth. Thinking it, meditating on it, and speaking it as often as we can. You have to almost, I don't know, it's hard for me to speak negative, because all these years I've been trying to program this mind to stop it. Stop thinking negative thoughts. Stop speaking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, Philippians 4:8, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We have to be intentional about closing any open doors that the enemy is using to bring fear and anxiety into our life. That's number five. Sin opens the door for fear and anxiety. Let me say that again. Sin opens the door for fear and anxiety. I talked to someone recently, and their daughter, probably 14, 15 years old, had went with her cousins to go see this new horror movie and came home scared out of her mind. That's an open door. And that's what I said. I mean, I got a little excited. Like, do you realize that's an open door for your daughter? Don't do that. Don't allow that. Don't dabble in that. Don't play with that. Don't open the door for the enemy to oppress you with fear and anxiety. But it's not just that. In these last days, and I'm wrapping it up. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And so we think about, you know, play with the Ouija board. Okay, now you open the door. Well, I had tarot cards. Well, you open the door. All this. But I'm going to show you something that opens the door for fear. That I've never really thought of this way before. John chapter 4, verse 15. And we got to close these doors. We got to close these doors. John chapter 1 John, I'm sorry. Did I say 1 John? 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. 1 John 4, 15 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Isn't that good news this morning? Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in him dwelleth in God, and God in him. So if we're dwelling in God and God's in us, we're in love. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. When I have to stand before God, washed with the blood of Jesus, I'm not afraid. I am afraid, like, Lord, the things I haven't done that you probably called me to do, but I know I'm not lost. I know my heart belongs to Jesus. So I have that hope of heaven in my life. But it says here, verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has what? Torment. Wait, love casts out fear. Fear has torment. If we're having fear and torment, then something is broken in our love. Something is misfunctioning in our love. What could that be? Well, let's read on. For he that fears, in verse 18, is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother. Oh, hang on a second. Wait a minute. If a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar? What's he lying about? Loving God? And if he's lying about loving God because he hates his brother, then he is not walking in perfect love, and therefore there's a huge door open. Do you realize that your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ is critical? You can't say, I love God, but, oh, I really don't like that brother right there. Hallelujah, Lord, I love you, but I hate him. Please don't sing that song, Brother Dave, and don't sing that song. That's right. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, that is an open door. Yes, to torment. Fear is torment. Torment is fear. And you open the door to fear when you have unforgiveness, bitterness, envy, resentment, hatred in your heart. Pastor was preaching Sunday, and I just wanted to, because he began to preach about how in our country we can't be divided. We can't look at each other and say, oh, he's black, he's Hispanic, he's white, he's Asian. No, baby, he's Christian, she's Christian, she's blood-bought, he's blood-bought. That's my brother, that's my sister, and that's the end of that. And if your heart's not there, you need to close that door to the devil. Last point. We need to be intentional about trusting God with everything that concerns us, even those things that keep us up all night. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. One version says, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Thank you, church, for putting up with me for this time. Yelling at you, hollering at you. Oh, I must have dropped the fluff on the way up here. I'm sorry. There it is on the... It's on the floor. I left it by my chair. I'm sorry. Church, are you ready to pray? Are you ready to get fear and anxiety out of your life today? If you are tempted with the deception of fear and anxiety over anything, I want you to come up and just come around this altar with me, because we're going to pray as a church, we're going to pray as a family, and we are about to cast out fear, anxiety, fear about the future, fear about what if, fear about finances, fear about relationships, fear about the government, fear about war. Getting up on your feet, coming to the altar is a show of faith. Just like when Jesus said to Peter, come. And he walked on the water. Coming to this altar is saying, Jesus, I heard your word, and I'm stepping out on faith, because I want fear out of my life. Fear of man, fear of people. You know how big the fear of man is? Afraid of what people think about us, what people are going to say about us. Afraid when we tell somebody we're going to preach a fluffy sermon and you drop the fluff on the floor. I got to tell you one more quick thing. Then we're going to pray. A while back, a couple of years ago, I guess now, my wife and I had this experience with the Lord. And he literally came to our home and revived us. We had revival at our house, and we would wake up in the morning excited because, like, what's God going to show us? What's he going to do today? And you could tangibly feel his presence in our house. And so one thing he told us was this. He said, it's not too late. It's not too late. It's still time. Brooks. It's still time, David, for you to step out and do what I've called you to do. It's still time for you to be obedient and be who I've called you to be. And I'm going to just tell you what happened this morning. I was sitting there and they were practicing music this morning, and then the precious sister started singing, intimidated, a little bit of fear, nervousness. I came up to just say good morning as I always do, and when I put my foot on that step, I felt that same presence of God. I felt it all over again. And I thought, oh my God, I know he's here, but he's here. The Holy Ghost is here to do something. So I'm telling you that because I want you to know God is here to do something this morning. So I need you to stir up your faith and embrace him. And whatever that is that's keeping you up at night, whatever it is, we're going to deal with it this morning, right here and right now. And when you walk out that church, out this church, I do not want you to pick it up from this altar. You leave it here. And it'll get vacuumed up later on in the week. Here's the first thing I need you to do. I need you to examine your heart right now. Because I don't need you to have anything against anybody. I need you to examine your heart and make sure that you're not at odds with people, that you're not at odds with your family members or anybody. Check your heart. And if you are, forgive. If you people have hurt you, forgive them right now at this altar. Forgive them right now before we can even pray. We can't get past that because we need that perfect love to cast out fear. Father, if there's any unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, please allow them to see it. Show them, Lord, who they may have grudges against, disagreements with, who they may need to forgive. Allow them to see it this morning. You watching online, make sure that your hearts are clean. Before you pray this morning, make sure that your heart is right with God. It's not just the people here. The same anointing is right there where you are. I want you to pray. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you humbly asking you to help me today. I need you. I need you. Father, I need you. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of the anxiety. I'm tired of the fear. I don't want to walk in it any longer. I forgive those who may have hurt me. I let them go. It might still hurt, but I choose by an act of faith to forgive today. Now, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I ask you to show me any open doors in my life that may be allowing the enemy to harass me with fear and anxiety. Now, I want you to be quiet for a minute. Now, Father, I pray over them. I pray that you would show them anything, any open door, Lord, that may be allowing fear and anxiety, torment to come into their lives. And whatever it is, Lord, I pray that those doors would be closed right now in the name of Jesus. If something is coming to you, I want you just to whisper it and just say, I renounce this in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, just whisper it. Nobody needs to hear you. God hears you. Lord, forgive me for this. I renounce this in Jesus' name. I don't want it in my life anymore. Father, I thank you for setting your people free this morning. Now, Lord, by according to your word, Father, I speak in Jesus' name in authority because you say you give us authority. And so right now in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of anxiety. I bind anything, Father, that is trying to torment your people right now in the name of Jesus. By the anointing of God, I command that fear to go. I command that anxiety to go. I command those tormenting spirits to go in the name of Jesus right now. The blood of Jesus breaks those chains. The blood of Jesus over your people, Father. I plead the blood right now. I plead the blood of Jesus right now over your children, Lord, all over this place, all online. I plead the blood and I command these harassing spirits to leave their minds. I command these harassing spirits to leave their minds, leave their hearts, leave their homes. And I even believe you, Father God, to cleanse their homes. Restore relationships, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Restore broken relationships, Father. I bind those spirits of division in Jesus' name. And I pray for healing over relationships today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I need you to do one more thing for me at this altar. We've done our part. You've done your part. The spirits have to go in Jesus' name. They have no authority. So in Jesus' name, they're gone. Fear is gone. Anxiety is gone. Depression is gone in Jesus' name. Now, here's the last thing I need you to do. I need you to worship and praise with the worship team and thank God for what he's done today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.